This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin the Monday morning edition. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. My man, we have made it to March. So you can, it's almost like you can feel the basketball in the air, right? This time of year, it's a little bit different. We finally turned the page into the witching hour here. Starting to get pretty darn excited for conference tournaments and, of course, March Madness. It's all right around the corner.
Buddy, I think you buried the lead. We've made it to the beginning of Daily Diamond. I don't know if anyone really cares about college basketball right now on this, and I digress. No, it's I saw a post about what is the best sports month, October, minus $1.30 favorite right now, March in second, the second betting option, plus $1.10. Whatever it means, buddy, this is that time, spring hopes eternal, and we'll see as we begin this two-week endeavor of conference tournaments, which teams are going to punch their ticket to March Madness and which ones are going to go home unhappy.
But we do re-debut, if you will, the Daily Diamond, but debut it here for 2026 in earnest today. Going to break down a couple teams here. Of course, going to do that with the Kansas City Royals today, too. So Joel Goldberg is going to join us as well from Kansas City Radio here, talking all things Royals. Zachary Cohen's going to join us later on in this hour here, and also have our best bets as Will Hill joins the program as he does in hour number three. So much to get to here with the Daily Diamond coming back. We've got a special contest that we're going to talk about here at the network today. That's why you see this beautiful New York Metropolitans cap on, if you can see here on FanDuel Sports Network. I know Larry Muir, our director, is trying to crop it out of the picture. You can't keep the Mets down. So we'll get to all of that later on in the program, but we do begin with our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Monday Night Football, it used to be turn out the lights, the party's over. They say that all good things must end. Well, the losing streak does come, or the winning streak, rather, comes to an end here for the Spurs. They get crushed by the Knicks yesterday. Never a contest in this one. 114-89 is the final. So, hey, you had an 11-game winning streak. It was fantastic. Still, it's been an unbelievable second half here for the Spurs. But it was all about the Knicks here in this with Jensen. Again, we talk about this sometimes in context of when you get the big-time matchups between a big-time team out west and one we think might be a big-time team out in the east here. What do you make of the Knicks statement they had against the Spurs yesterday?
Beneficiaries, Dave, of some sloppy play. Spurs, a lot of turnovers. Wembanyama had seven by himself. It was just some unforced errors that things we're not accustomed to seeing. And as you mentioned, a really prolific winning streak. Heck, for the majority of February there, the Spurs were the team to talk about. I think overall, what I do take away most is that the Knicks at home have been an absolute force to be reckoned with. 23-8. For whatever reason, they have found the elixir here that has eluded them the last couple of years. And we talk a lot of futures about where you are as far as the big four, with the Pistons, the Celtics, the Knicks, the Cavs, you know, which team you would want to kind of buy into at this point. Boy, if the Knicks continue to find some home court advantage here, at least through the first round, maybe into the second round, that seeding going to be all important just with how they particularly have played at Madison Square Garden.
Remember last week, Knicks had dipped to about 4-1 to win the East as the fourth betting choice out of the big four. They are still the fourth betting choice, down to plus 370. So 30 cents to the good here for the Knicks after that big win against the Spurs. Spurs, by the way, still about 5-1 out west as the third betting choice there. If you want to back Boiler up, it's not looking good right now. Ohio State is the latest to take down. They're not going to be in the top 10 any longer here. After a rough week for Purdue, 82-74 is the final. And this one, I saw Matt Eumanns tweeting about this. We'll talk to Matt tomorrow on the program as well. This was preseason, one, two in the country we're talking about here. And they might be headed for an early exit in the NCAA tournament if they're playing like this. Jensen, maybe they can get it right in the Big Ten tournament. But where are we in Purdue right now?
Buddy, I think it was a discussion that we had in earnest last week. If you're looking outside of Michigan, at least in Big Ten territory for programs to back, I had Illinois in front of Purdue. Not that I want to put Nebraska up there just yet, but I think obviously it's March. That means Michigan State Tom Izzo. This is their time to shine. They dispatched of Indiana yesterday, too, in a big win. So I would say that par for the course. We sort of identified it. It was a buyer beware situation. They have done this in the past. So a real tough one. And credit where it's due, Bruce Thornton and company. This is what we'll find handicap-wise, Dave, especially finishing regular seasons for the bigger conferences, motivation, teams that are on the bubble, huge part of where you want to handicap these specific games. They're going to be teams that have to try and win out the rest of their regular season or at least get pretty far in their conference tournament. So something to keep in mind here as we get to the end of the college, at least the men's side regular season.
You mentioned Sparty with that win against Indiana. By the way, Sparty's 40-1, same number as Purdue now. They've dipped all the way to 40-1 to win the national championship. Big weekend for Alabama. They get a road win against Tennessee. Their number goes up somehow. They're up to 65-1. I cannot figure that out at all. Okay, it is March, and that means conference tournaments play is going to be today with the Horizon League here. So going to have IU Indy against Cleveland State. That's the play-in round here. Also a big one here, Iowa State against number 2, Arizona. Iowa State with a tough one against Texas Tech this weekend, too. So, Jensen, we keep getting this kind of flipping around to the top 5 here, and I don't know that Iowa State is going to be in the top 5 once the new rankings come out.
Boy, you talk about just sloppy play and that first half, Texas Tech taking advantage in kind. We've had a couple of these blunders with the Cyclones, yet I would still put them in quite a favorable spot of where they are comparatively to some of the other contenders, whether that be on the 2-seed line, the 3-seed line, what have you. Hard press for me, Dave, with their resume to see him dip below a 2, maybe a little trepidation here if they trip up at the end of the season. You mentioned the Horizon League tournament beginning at the Wolstein Center, right down the road from me here in Northeast Ohio. Not the same Cleveland State Viking team we've seen of years past. They have really taken it on the chin this year. For those not familiar with how the Horizon League tournament works, we'll dive headfirst into it. Daily docket for this week, next week, very heavy into the conference tournament iterations. There are some of these tournaments, Dave, where they will be on campus all the way through, at least for here in the Horizon League. First round will be at those school sites. Second round and beyond will be in Indianapolis. So we'll dive into that as much as possible throughout each and every day. VSiN.com, our great people, Adam Berg, Zachary Cohen, we're going to catch up with 48 hours before these conference tournament starts. Those previews will be up. So we'll jump into it in earnest each day, but excited to get those conference tournaments underway tonight.
It's also that time of year now, certainly when you're starting looking at money in the NFL. As you get into March here and the calendar year really begins, and you got to start cutting some people. Well, Aaron Jones looks like, and Javon Hargrave are going to be either traded or released from Minnesota here. If they can't find trade partners, they're just going to cut these guys and save some salary. It's been a great run for Aaron Jones, certainly in Green Bay, in the first couple of years in Minnesota. But last year, not as great. Javon Hargrave, the big defensive tackle there. So we'll see what happens there. Also, there are reports, according to ESPN, that the Vikings are interested possibly in a reunion with Kirk Cousins, who's out there. And if it's not Kirk, it could be Geno Smith, Kyler Murray, Tua Tagovailoa. What that tells me, Jensen, is we're going to get a veteran for J.J. McCarthy.
We may not have J.J. McCarthy. That's what I'm reading, is that they're ready to move on. And I think that is going to be the spice of this offseason so far, is when we get to the draft, do the Minnesota Vikings have their quarterback at least of 2026, maybe not of the future, but have they kind of made a decision before draft day of, yeah, we want to move on. We feel we still got a great competitive team in this highly competitive NFC North. So I think that just kind of solidifies, Dave, that KOC is done. They want to move forward. He knows where his bread's buttered. And so that's a pretty big indictment on J.J. McCarthy.
Again, we're going to kind of read between the tea leaves here that if you get rid of the GM that went out and got J.J. McCarthy and you let Sam Darnold go and Daniel Jones go, but you kept the head coach, I think that tells you who wanted whom in the war room. That's why one guy is still there and one guy is no longer there. Wow, what a finish yesterday at the Cognizant Classic. We'll get into this. Nico Echeverria somehow is standing on the 16th tee in the bear trap, and he's down 3 shots to Shane Lowry. This is a formality. Or Shane O'Mac's going to get this thing done. And then Shane Lowry goes double-double on 16 and 17. And Echeverria with an unbelievable birdie on 17. Not only does he wins by 2. A 5-shot swing in the last 3 holes. Nico Echeverria wins for the 3rd time on tour. Shane Lowry, the Irishman, at least, Jensen, he faced the music and he spoke to the media after his collapse. Okay, we're going to try to get Shane a little bit later on in the program. But let's just say, Jensen, it was one for the ages. When you see a collapse like that, and it's shocking because it goes to the 16th tee, nobody had hit water on 16 all weekend until Shane Lowry did to begin that double-double. Here's Shane talking about the loss after the round.
I'm obviously extremely disappointed. I had the tournament in my hands and I threw it away. What more can I say? It's twice this year now so far, so I'm getting good at it.
We're going to hear more from Shane a little bit later on in the program about why he was so disappointed. But at least he was good-natured about it, did face the music and the media, Jensen. But it was a gutting one. They're going to have the Arnold Palmer this week, elevated event. Shane will be there. I got to tell you, I didn't have any tickets on him. I had a 4-1 on Echeverria yesterday, which came through. I did not expect that to cash. But boy, that one, Jensen, feels like it might sting the nostrils for the Irishman for quite some time.
Certainly will. Congrats to everyone who tailed the rest of our best bets. Nikolai Højgaard gets home on a top 20, top 10. Daniel Berger might be on the banned list for how he finished. Boy, oh boy. A couple of guys going to need to clean up the game here coming up next week at the Arnold Palmer.
Speaking of tailing, hopefully you tail the Brooks Koepka. Gets not only a top 20, a top 10 for Brooksy. I'll talk more about him because I think Big Boy is back. If you're still paying full price for gas, you don't have to do that much longer, any longer, because when you download the free Upside app, you can earn real cash back every time you fill up at the pump. Just use the promo code BOOKS, get an extra 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books. This show is sponsored by Upside. You can download the free Upside app. You can earn real cash back every time you fill up at the pump. All you got to do is use the promo code BOOKS for 25 cents back per gallon on your very first fill up. Go to upside.com for all of the particulars. Jensen, it was a collapse. We're going to talk about Shane Lowry a little bit more as the show goes on today. So you had a Shane Lowry ticket, by the way. I feel for you, man. Like, I bet Nico about the fourth hole in live betting. And by the way, give me a follow, D-Raw Sports. I do this every Sunday. It's hard to get those in as we're going through because it's in real time, right? So you can find some really good value as the tournament's going on. I'm listening to Kevin Kisner on the broadcast talking about how solidly Nico Echeverria is playing. And I thought, wow, you know, he's only one back of this group. Smotherman, who had a really good early round. I don't know how he's going to play. I know Shane Lowry's going to play well. And it really did look like it was going to be a coronation. And then I was kicking myself, Jensen. You and I have talked about this FOMO of, like, why didn't I take Shane O to win in my three-leg parlay I gave out last week here on the show? And then he doesn't win. And then you go, that's why I didn't give him out. So I just did the top 10. But, Jensen, we can put a check mark by the first one in an almost 20-1 parlay as we get Shane O'Mac home here with the 10-1 for the top 10 finish, including ties, by the way. It was top five for Shane, even with that collapse. Now I need the Cavs in the East, and I do like Michigan still. That's a minus $1.50 play, by the way, if you just did it as a standalone. So I kind of like where I am with Michigan. I just hope that as the months go, this ticket is still live into April, and then we go into the postseason with the NBA. And if Cleveland can at least get to the final in the East, Jensen, we have a chance to make some monetization of that ticket.
I would agree. Right now, just where Michigan is, projected one seed in the Midwest region, according to Joe Lunardi, and that just a couple of days ago, February 27th, with that update. Iowa State, ironically, a two seed at the moment in that side of the bracket in the region. We'll see how that fluctuates here today with that loss to Texas Tech. The Cavaliers won, buddy, after kind of watching and seeing where James Harden's comments were. Remember, he is playing with that fractured thumb. He's going to try and get through not only the rest of the regular season, but what they hope is a pretty long postseason. Right now, Dave, if the postseason were to begin, Cavaliers would be the four seed, and they'd take on the Toronto Raptors. Actually feel really good about you right there, because at home, at least, they haven't been covering well. The Cavaliers have been winning, and Rocket Arena has been a place that they have had a lot of success. It's the next round, right? And I think that's probably where the discussion bends. It begins in the Eastern Conference, is that the Big Four, regardless of how it ends up seeding-wise, we said this in the AFC. Who would you need to get the one seed? Who would need the home court advantage or home field advantage more? Denver or New England? Remember, New England undefeated on the road. They could take their show anywhere. Denver felt like that was a place it didn't matter what the score was, they'd find a way to win. Detroit, 23-7 at home, 21-7 away, they're fine. The Celtics, that's the wild card we talked about. If you get Tatum back, completely different dynamic, right? If you don't, we'll kind of see where they are. And then the Knicks' physicality, and then the Cavaliers, who have done quite well at home too. So anxious to see how it ends up. But I like where you're at, buddy. The hard, almost feel like the hard part was what you got through, you know, right? Yesterday, even though Shane Lowry tried to give it all away and eventually did.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the Cavaliers, because that's the one leg now that I feel the weakest about. Yet they're the favorites to win the East at +290. Yeah. Are you surprised? Because, you know, I'm watching that game against Detroit, and on Friday night, even without Harden, it looks good for the majority of the game till it doesn't at the end in overtime. But I'm going, well, wait a minute, I thought he's going to try to play through this. So I'm wondering, when is he going to choose to play? When is he not going to choose to play? Because it did look good until the injury. Should I be concerned about whether or not Harden can really push through with this?
I think that's the unique part of where Kenny Atkinson and company are going to have to make decisions. Because, Dave, guess what? You've got the Pistons upcoming tomorrow at home. You've got the Celtics upcoming on Sunday at home. You've got the Philadelphia 76ers Monday on a back-to-back at home. You've got three games right in a row here where you would love to have, you know, James Harden at least as close to 100% or as much as he's going to be able to be there. But I would also look at just to kind of your Eastern Conference future idea. Once they get through this quote-unquote three-game gauntlet, it's at Orlando. You got back-to-backs against the Mavericks, who are not going to be anywhere near the postseason picture. The Bucks are tanking. The Bulls have been awful. The Pelicans are bad. And then you're back to Orlando before you have a back-to-back against the Miami Heat. So you've got a stretch there, Dave, once you get through probably the next week, where the Cavs could make some hay and not necessarily need the services of a James Harden or to push him to be in there. And so that might play out really well for where you are, considering that the rest of their schedule looks pretty good as far as them being able to not only achieve a top four seed, but maybe to find some inroads up to that third or maybe even number two seed as well.
Can't wait. That's what I call a Jensen Lewis special right there, putting in that three leg parlay here in Crossboard. It's a lot of fun to get that first leg home, so we have some life there. But that was all. I think you were the first one when we did the show over a year ago now, and it was a Colin Morikawa ticket that I think you had a top 20 on with the Bills to win the Super Bowl. Like, you had so much life with that ticket for the better part of a year. So it was inspired by you, my man. And it is a lot of fun to do that when you get that first leg in. That's really nice. Over the weekend, we did see some results in college basketball that might be a little bit surprising. I know this Arizona blowout win against Kansas looks really good if you just look at the score. Kansas did make that a run in the second half, Jensen. And then, boy, when Arizona put the foot down, did they ever, in a runaway freight train win. We talked about Texas Tech with the upset against Iowa State. That was in Ames, Iowa, too, by the way, on Saturday. So without Toppin, still no problem for Texas Tech. A surprise there. And Florida, that was 111 they put on Calipari and company from Arkansas. Wow, they're rounding into form as potentially a one seed. I mentioned Alabama drifting in the marketplace to 65-1. They're playing their best basketball of the year. I can't figure it out why the market hates Alabama, but they're actually drifting, even though they're winning on the road at Rocky Top here. St. Mary's upsets Gonzaga on Saturday night as well, and Michigan takes care of Illinois on Friday night. Out of those results, which ones to you might have, in your eyes, shifted the marketplace, at least for you?
Florida's the big winner to me. And again, we mentioned it towards the end of last week. It feels like we're watching last year's movie all over again. They have really reprised their role of a lot of efficiency on the offensive end. They have really locked down some teams defensively, too. Think about the pace of which Arkansas has played with most of the year, and to do what they did, the Gators, in limiting that offensive attack, pretty big. Overall, 30,000-foot view of where we sit. If you're looking kind of underneath the big marquee programs, talked about St. Louis, the Billikens, last week as a chaos candidate. You said St. Mary's and Gonzaga, and that's kind of where I want to start as far as way off the beaten path. If you're looking for a Sweet 16 future, depending on where St. Mary's gets a draw, that might be a team that you look at that's not one of the preeminent favorites. Still think that Virginia and Louisville are teams that you could look at. Texas Tech, and we wanted to kind of know, and we've gotten a little bit of a sample here. Without JT Toppin, they've gone toe-to-toe, man. I mean, it's a tough team.
Wow.
And so that's going to be a hard team to look past as far as advancing them to the second weekend in your bracket. So, again, the headline for me is I think Florida wins the weekend. I think they have achieved the most as far as where they are in the eyes of not only the committee, seeing them upwards of a 2 seed right now. And I think that is well warranted. And I don't know if you want to try and, like, right now they would be in UConn's region in the South.
Yep.
Think about that crash course of where UConn, Florida for a region final. Wow. That would be incredible theater there to see what those two teams, if they do meet as the top two in that region.
And they are the big money mover, because right now the fourth single digit number to win the national championship, it's not Houston. Houston's 10-1 now, people. It's Florida. Florida's 8-1. By contrast, UConn is 16-1 with a narrow victory over the weekend against the kids in the hall. So all of a sudden, UConn is back to, that's the number I actually have, is 16-1 in pocket from over a month ago. So I'm not saying it doesn't matter, Jensen, who's the one, who's the two. But right now, if form held, because Florida could win the one seed if they win the SEC tournament, they could get that fourth number one. That's very plausible. Then UConn would be the two. It wouldn't really matter if UConn got the one, Florida became the first number two, because they would be in the same region theoretically. It does feel like to go to the Final Four, if seeding held, Florida, UConn, as you mentioned, it does feel like that's going to be, no matter who's the one, who's the two. Do you see it playing out the same way?
Could be. There's a couple of trip up spots there. Mentioned St. Louis, right? They are projected 7 seed in that region with Florida. Ooh. So you imagine if they get past Texas, who's a 10, Florida, St. Louis, if you're looking for maybe a trip up spot for the Gators, that could be it as well. Houston would be the 3 seed in that part of the bracket. And so defensively, if you were going to try and limit the perimeter game of Florida, maybe the inside out opportunities, we know that could be one spot as well. That is a loaded Texas Tech's a 4 seed. Think of those top.
Oh my.
UConn is 1, Florida 2, Houston 3, Texas Tech 4. And that in and of itself could be dramatic if they all make it to the second week.
We're going to break down some of the games that we have tonight on the docket when we come back in College Hoops. It's the best time of the year. That's why we got a Hoops Mania special right now. So you can get VSiN Pro access now through May 1st for just $29.99 daily. Best bets from all of our hosts and guests. Of course, March Mania betting guide, including all the team profiles for every tournament team. Sign up today, VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
Tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here. You can stop paying full price for gas. Just download the free Upside app, earn real cash back every time you fill up at the pump. It's quick, it's easy. It actually does add up. Drivers are earning $200 and $300 a year just by buying the gas they've already needed. So use the promo code Books, title of this show, 25 cents back per gallon on your first tank, and cash out anytime to your bank account or e-gift cards like Amazon. Download the free Upside app now. Use the promo code BOOKS for a limited time. 25 cent per gallon bonus. Offers vary by user and location. See upside.com for all of the particulars. Jensen, we did see some craziness in college basketball over the weekend, and one of those was in Ames, Iowa, where Iowa State got beaten down pretty good against Texas Tech. And again, Toppin's not walking through that door there for Texas Tech, and yet they go on the road and get a big win. Now Iowa State has got to pick up the pieces and go to Arizona and take on the number two Wildcats, and they swept around Kansas in the second half of a big blowout win there. So now I guess my question is, Arizona is the number two team in the country. Duke is number one. Michigan is number three right now. Feels like we're going to be jostling for number four here. Florida might have something to say about that as well. Where are you in these two teams? Because I don't know that Iowa State has played them off the one line yet. I think they could still, if you could win your conference tournament, I think that could still be in play for the number for the fourth number one. How important would an Iowa State bounce back win be tonight in Arizona?
It'd be huge, and I would say some of the key matchups tonight is going to be that perimeter shooting against Arizona's defense. Listen, they've been outstanding at home. They're in the desert. Iowa State, when they are hitting threes, they're going to be able to beat pretty much anybody. And I think also you marry that with the rebounding and the interior play. If that is something where Iowa State can meet the moment and also kind of control where they are as far as that rebounding margin, they're in great shape. Other thing to think about, if you haven't watched a lot of Arizona, especially at home, they play at a pretty controlled pace, Dave. They're not always in a hurry. And if I'm Iowa State, I'm trying to push some tempo. I'm trying to get them uncomfortable. This number opened at 8.5, Dave. Iowa State now catching 7.5. I'm seeing that pretty much unanimously across the board. And I would tend to lean that way right now. I'm going to kind of see where the money goes as we move throughout the morning. Just for people that wanted to know, 44% of bets, but 54% of money on Iowa State plus 7.5 at the moment. That's kind of how I see it. You are in that sort of bounce back opportunity for the Cyclones. And Arizona, I mean, it's always been tough there at the McHale Center. They have that motivation to try and put this thing away. So what an outstanding matchup we've got between number two and number four, at least before we get the new rankings here today.
That's right. And Pete, by the way, was back for Arizona and almost hit his seasonal averages, even returning from injury from almost being out for a month at 12-7 against Kansas. So they have their full complement of Wildcats back right now. And yet 7.5, that number's coming down. That's very interesting to me. Duke, put it on Virginia over the weekend and starting to look all the part of a maybe the best team in the country. I think we thought that was going to be Michigan and or Arizona. Could still very well be. But it does feel like John Shire and company, they're hitting their stride right now. Do you want to lay 9.5 on the road? This is, look, for the people that don't know this area, and I know it very, very well from living and working in that area, this is the Super Bowl for NC State tonight, right? Like, this is their big one that they're going to get up for. But just because you're going to be up for it, are you good enough? Where are you right now? I don't know that I want to lay 9.5 in the road tonight, but Duke does feel like they're hitting their full stride entering March.
Yeah. Okay. So your motivation idea and where they are mentally as far as the Wolfpack, I might look more to a first half spread. This number has come down for what it's worth. Did open at plus 10.5. Now NC State at plus 9.5. Only 39% of bets, 7% of money. It has been nothing but Blue Devils cash here, and that does not shock me. I would want to lean NC State because, as you said, we're going to get into this spot, especially this week finishing conference regular seasons, getting into conference tournaments. NC State, a team that we had seen upwards of 200-1 in the national title futures a while back. And do they have their work cut out for them? Absolutely. I would say that this is also an opportunity when you look at the overall conference standings and kind of where we are in the overall pecking order. Obviously, Duke's going to be that top team. They are the number one team clear cut in all of America. NC State entering play today, Dave, they would be the sixth seed. Okay. So they're looking to try and crack that top four. They'd have to run down Clemson and North Carolina the last couple of games here. But right now, our friends at CVAnalytics.com, they have them in that seven seed. So that would entail a loss tonight, which I still think Duke wins the game. Is this one of those last minute where Duke hits kind of a shot, maybe meaningless for some, but so meaningful for others? It's a stay away for me, but I love your handicap. So maybe a first half spread for NC State. A lot of energy, got to have that sense of urgency. But does Duke ultimately wear them down and end up covering in the second half?
You know, it's not a big difference here, Jensen, but Michigan still is the tournament favorite, technically, even though it feels like Duke might be the quote-unquote overall number one right now because of the head-to-head matchup on a neutral a couple weeks ago in Washington, D.C. Michigan's plus 330, Duke is plus 350. You go another $1.25 to Arizona, plus 475, and then I mentioned Florida is the fast runner here at 8-1 to close that narrow in the gaps. But is Duke in your eyes, like eye test? I feel like the betting market still says it's Michigan. Are we still undervaluing Duke? Remember, they were about 7-1 a couple weeks ago to win the title. It's been cut in half now to plus 350. But if I said to you, gents, who's the best team in college basketball? Simple question. What would your answer be?
It'd be Duke. I would take Duke right now. And obviously the head-to-head. Hey, it's why we play the game. Didn't we have this argument in college football between Miami and Notre Dame? We settle this on the field. We settle this on the hardwood. We have one data point, and it was at a neutral site too, Dave. So that's something to keep in mind here. But yes, as far as where I would, if you give me a team and these are the two that end up meeting in Indianapolis to decide it all, I'd still take Duke at this point. Just feel like they're a bit ahead of where Michigan can be. And you already have that part mentally of we've done it before, fellas. We can certainly do it again.
Yeah, that was such a bizarre juxtaposition, wasn't it? Yeah. We lost to Miami, Notre Dame. But, you know, that was then. And now we beat them. What? Well, you guys played, and you lost. Duke played Michigan on a neutral. Michigan lost. Yet Michigan is still the favorite. NBA, a couple games here I wanted to talk about very quickly. Clippers and Warriors out west. We know that Steph Curry is not even going to be reevaluated here for 10 days. So he's going to be out for a couple weeks here, at least for Golden State. These teams looking like play-in teams right now here in the Western Conference. Celtics against the Bucks. Boy, it's been a rough go here for Milwaukee as well. What do you make of these two games? Let's start off out west with the Clippers and Warriors. I asked you before the show, I don't know that there's any realistic shot. Steph comes back. It's still Steph Curry. I get that. But I don't know really if we're just kind of playing out the string here for two of these California teams.
Yeah, flip of favorites here. Clippers were actually catching a point when this line opened. They have been bet up to the favorite, -1.5, seeing that pretty much across the board here on most of the legal jurisdictions. You mentioned it. It's the age and it's the issues from the injury standpoint for Golden State. At home, they've actually been really good, though. They're 19-12 there at the Chase Center. Clippers have not been good on the road, 13-18. They do get a big win yesterday. You mentioned the Bucks. I might have been one of the only people on the Bulls catching the points.
Oh,
and
you
checked social media. Boy, there are a handful of our colleagues that were very upset about a pretty ridiculous run from the Windy City Boys there. So, hey, that is, and we talked about it a lot with our colleagues here in Zachary Cohen, JBT, buyer beware when you're backing teams that are out of it, that are tanking, what have you. It's you're going to get those swings in the association, no question about it.
That was one of those reverse tanks, right? Where you're kind of both tanking if you're Chicago and Milwaukee, and yet Chicago, somebody's got to win the game at some point, right? Adam Silver. I mean, you got to figure out a way to win. Very quickly in the NHL tonight, we do have the Hurricanes and the Kraken here going on tonight. And again, Jonathan Davis, if you are a Visa Pro subscriber, always puts his picks up each and every day. Anything on the ice that's interesting to you tonight?
I'm going to hold off on it. And actually, that was a good exercise for me yesterday. No plays on the ice. And we'll kind of see where things go today. But a lot going to be focused on this upcoming college slate. Not only the finish of the regular season, handful of games still left for the big boys, but we get it underway in earnest with the Horizon League tournament starting tonight.
Your guys there, Columbus, a big one tonight against the Blue Shirts in the world's most famous arena. You want to start keeping and stacking up points here if you're Columbus these days. Again, that Hoops Mania special right now, it is $29.99 because college basketball with March Madness right around the corner, daily best bets from all of our experts, real-time betting splits, AI-powered props and matchup tools. Yes, even coming up here for March Madness. How about that? 24/7 live video plus full show replays, the March Mania betting guide. You can get it today when you sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe. Let's get into it with some of these conference tournaments. The Daily Docket is next. Let's talk about what's on the horizon in their league. That's next right here on VSiN by the Book. We'll be right back.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the books. This show is sponsored by Upside. You can get paid on gas with the free Upside app. All you got to do is download Upside now. Use promo code books, title of this show. You will save 25 cents per gallon on your very first fill up. So go to upside.com for all of the details. It is officially March, people. It's March 2nd, by the way. I've started my workout challenge, 100 push-ups a day, two-minute plank, people. You can do it as well. You're only one day behind. You can catch up. But it's also when we turn the page to March here, Jensen, that means we're talking all things college basketball. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
And a programming reminder right here. If you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber, you really need to be now. Because when you go to VSiN.com, you can check in 48 hours before conference tournament starts begin for a preview, all the previews of said tournament. So, Jensen, no better time than the present to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. And you have broken down the Horizon League today for the Daily Docket.
Yeah, great place to start here. For those of us living in this part of the country here in Northeast Ohio, it's right in our backyard where it gets started tonight. The Vikings of Cleveland State taking on IUPUI. And one part of where you look at, especially the Horizon League and where it differentiates with some other tournaments. Dave, there are first round games here that will take place at the higher seeded team's home gym. Okay, so that's where we begin. Not only today is it technically a designated play-in game to the tournament for the Horizon League, and then tomorrow everyone else will be in action there. Wright State, your number one seed, they went 15-5 in Horizon League play. No doubt they should be the number one seed. However, the team right behind him, Robert Morris, on a 7-game win streak, plus 280, I believe our friend and colleague Adam Burke talked about in his write-up, where if you're looking for a non-favorite, this would be a team that you could look at. And even a little bit farther down the board, Oakland at plus 425, they can get hot from the perimeter. They've got a balance to attack here, and sometimes you just got to be right at the right time. And then if you're looking for maybe a bigger long shot with some value, Detroit Mercy at 10-1, they were 12-8 in the conference, a little bit above 500 overall. They lead the league in three-point shooting and are really solid in rebounding and free throws. So again, always at this point in the season, it's a one-bid league, Dave. So to get into the big dance, you've got to win the Horizon League tournament. That's a little bit of a capsule for you with that tournament beginning tonight.
I like that Robert Morris little nugget there. Seems like pretty good value for a team that's pretty hot entering the Horizon League tournament. Let's break down what we're going to have for the rest of the week against some of the smaller tournaments that are out there. But again, a little bit for everybody out there if you want to bet March Madness this week.
Yeah, okay, so this is, again, the best 2 weeks as far as leading into Selection Sunday, and various sites, various leagues beginning as early as tomorrow. You friends and family in the Sun Belt and the Patriot League, again, that March 3rd through 9th for the Sun Belt in Pensacola, Florida. The Patriot League, Dave, they'll be on campus. The uniqueness of each one, so that plays into the handicapping here. Higher seeds going to be hosting there on campus in the Patriot League. The Ohio Valley Conference, a real good one, competitive one, March 4th through the 7th in Evansville. The Atlantic Sun, same time frame to the 8th in Jacksonville. Big South in Johnson City, Tennessee, right near your neck of the woods. Sioux Falls, South Dakota, might have a value play for you in the Summit Conference tournament. The Northeast is in on their campus sites as well, March 4th through the 10th. Couple other nuggets for you. March 5th, beginning a handful of tournaments, the MVC in St. Louis, the MAAC, the Mid-American Athletic. It is the final year, or at least the final time, they'll be called the MMAC. They'll be changing the conference name, Dave. That one in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Our friend Thomas Gable, I'm sure, will have some patronage from those fan bases coming through. The West Coast Conference, March 5th to the 10th, out in Las Vegas, Nevada. Always a fun one if you get a chance to jump in and see that one. The SoCon in Asheville, North Carolina. Colonial Athletic in Washington, D.C. Big Sky in Boise, Idaho. The America East will be on campus. And the Southland wraps up. They start on Sunday, March 8th. That is your first week of conference tournaments. That will take place in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
back in my DC days, I'm going way back here, Jensen, was able to cover some of those American teams that actually came out of the Patriot League, went down to Birmingham when they were a 15 seed in the NCAA tournament. And Jeff Jones was the head coach back then, former UVA player back in his playing days. And they took on some team that 2 seed was coached by Bruce Pearl in Tennessee. Gave a run in the first half, Jensen, then it all came crumbling down in the second half. But it is time for the little guy to stand up and have their day in the sun. You found some value out there potentially with some price points that you might like.
Yeah, fascinating to look. And again, a reminder, VSiN.com, 48 hours before these tournaments begin, Adam Berg, Zachary Cohen, our great staff, will have all those write-ups and maybe some actionable intel. I did also go with the valuable intel. Yes, it is a little play on words here. 3 tournaments that'll begin this week, Dave. Let's start in the Big South. High Point, one of the few odds-on teams in conference tournament future markets to win. They are the clear favorite. 15-1 in conference. They were dominant the regular season. Okay, if we can get the top 2 seeds, and Winthrop is that number 2 seed, if they can meet them in the final, I mean, you already have a way to monetize that ticket. So that would be great. Plus 290, seeing Winthrop to win the Big South. The Patriot. Now, Navy is going to be the heavy favorite, but I think you look at teams also that have had strong play late in the season. Lehigh has been a team that can get hot shooting the three. If they can catch a little bit of the rebounding edge, maybe in those first handful of games, they might be very live there. Some value at 8-1. And then in the Sun Belt, Appalachian State, this one taking place in Pensacola, Florida, multiple contenders in this one. And you've got a lot of balanced rosters with a handful of these top teams here, but 5-1 on App State. There's a lot of volatility in this conference tournament. I think you've got an opportunity maybe to take advantage of that as well.
I absolutely love it. I will be keeping a watchful eye this week. It's an exciting time. I know it's the lower level tournaments out there, but everybody gets their shot here, and these teams in earnest getting theirs. This is very interesting. We talked about it a little bit off the top of the show. We'll talk about it more coming up a little bit later on as well, that this is that time now that we're into March for football in the NFL, where the money really does start to move. Well, how about this from Ian Rappaport? Just in, the Texans and the Browns have agreed to terms on a trade to send the starting right tackle, Titus Howard, to Cleveland in exchange for a 5th rounder. And now when Howard gets to Cleveland, he gets a new deal. 3 years, $63 million extension. So that's a deal that's already been done now. So Cleveland gets much needed help on the offensive line. And again, sometimes you have to start to look at what you're doing up front. You look at it from Seattle's perspective. They're really good on both sides of the ball here, all the way to a Super Bowl. Obviously, you get the quarterback help from Sam Darnold. I'm not saying that this is where Cleveland's going here. But my question, Jensen, is Houston. Your bugaboo is offensive line. And you trade away one of the few guys that felt like he was serviceable up there. And then Cleveland gives him a new deal. What are we doing if we're Houston? And I'm like, C.J. Stroud, I got to keep this guy healthy and get him back to his rookie year form. We just shipped out his right tackle to Cleveland. I think if you're a Brownie backer, Jensen, you got to like this move.
We'll see. They really have so many different needs, not only offensively in the skill position, but you're right. This is also a part two where we've seen teams that have advanced the last couple of years. What do you do really well? You control the line of scrimmage. You protect the quarterback. Well,
yeah,
there wasn't really anyone protecting most of who was taking snaps for the Cleveland Browns this past year. Nice to get the deal done too. So you kind of get a 2-for-1 here, not only the trade, but you get that multi-year extension. So Andrew Berry going to be on the hot seat here, not only into the draft, but also with where we are. Todd Monken going to try and probably recreate a little bit of what was successful in Baltimore. What did they do? They ran the football really well, and they have the mobile quarterback, Lamar Jackson. Yes, we're not going to compare even slightly Shedeur Sanders or Deshaun Watson to Lamar Jackson, but you kind of get the sense, this is Todd Monken already starting to impose his will. Hey, what do we have to do well in this division? You better be able to run the football. You better be able to protect the quarterback, especially with the defenses you'll be up against.
I really am surprised by the move twofold. But again, Houston right now is the favorite, if you can believe this, to win the South again next year, plus $1.60, right? Great run at the end of the year last year. Cleveland's 13-1 as the long shot here in the North. The reason why I bring that up, Jensen, I watched what the Bears did very closely this time last year, and they refortified their entire offensive line. That's a piece for Cleveland. a piece. We get it. But it's one in the right direction. The Bears basically imported their whole offensive line. We saw what happened with the Bears last year. They go all the way from the outhouse to the penthouse in that division in 1 year. So just something to keep an eye on there as Cleveland starts to address that offensive line. A lot to get to here throughout the rest of the show. Going to have Joel Goldberg join us here from Kansas City Royals broadcaster, talk all things Kansas City as we bring back the Daily Diamond for 2026. And also in hour number three, we're going to have our VSiN Major League Baseball Futures Draft. We're going to pick the names out of the hat right here, give you that draft order. It's all coming up right here on VSiN by the Books.